Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
This is our last message in the series, Righteous, Not Rightish. There's a lot of people that are living right lives, right-ish, kind of, sort of. But God hasn't called us to live right-ish. He has given us his righteousness so we can live righteous. So we're going to jump into the final message in this series. And you can go back and check out all of the messages. There's been four of them before tonight for free anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Romans chapter 4, verse 22. And because of Abraham's faith, somebody say faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him. So there's two things right off the bat that God talks about here in Romans through Paul. He says that Abraham received righteousness because of his faith, and that we receive righteousness because of that same faith, that belief in Christ. The one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Somebody just declare it loudly and proudly. I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. You may be seated. Now that the lights are back on, I can talk about my t-shirt. For those of you who can't read it from where you're sitting, this says, "Give me back my rainbow." And for those of you that know our friend Andrew Willis, this is his design and his creation. And so this is a great thing to preach about and to stand on here in church. And then you better be ready if you wear this outside of church. But I'll be ready. Don't you worry. But Andrew, I told you I'd wear it at church. And I'm testing it out on a Wednesday to see how this goes before I wear it on a Sunday. Praise God. But anyway, I'm not going to let the world steal our symbols and that spiritual culture. That rainbow is not a sign of pride. It's a sign of promise. Praise God. That's a good place to say amen. Somebody say, I'm the righteousness of God. Number one, we are righteous by faith. Number two, we have studied that righteousness is a judicial declaration, a declaration of justice. When we say we are the righteousness of God, we are not asking you to judge us based on what we've done. We are asking for balanced judgment, not based on what we've done, but what Christ has done. And so when we say we are the righteousness of God, it is a judicial declaration, meaning that what God has done has covered, praise God, anything that we have done. And then Jesus, when he died on the cross, and man, while we were worshiping, I just found myself thanking God. I was just literally just saying, Lord, thank you for my life. Thank you for my, and in the middle, I don't even know when it changed, but while I was thanking God for my life, by the end of that song, I was saying, no, Jesus, thank you for your life, because I can't have my life if I don't have your life. So thank you for your life, God. And so righteousness is a judicial declaration. Number three, righteousness is counted. It is imputed to believers. That word imputed means it helps us reconcile. It is given. But last session, we really dug into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God hath made Jesus to be sin for us. What a powerful statement. He knew no sin, but he was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him or in Christ. That word in denotes a fixed position. How many of you glad that Jesus never changes? We've got two politicians running for office, and how many of you are just excited that the commercials are about to end and all of the propaganda that's filling your mailboxes up? I've got, if I ever run for political office, this is what I'm going to run on. I'm going to run that we don't print any materials, and all the millions of dollars for commercials, all the millions of dollars for print ads goes to our veterans here in this country instead of all the propaganda, because I have never met someone whose mind was changed by a commercial they saw or by a pamphlet in the mail. I am so glad that this is almost over. You know why? Because politicians change. We literally have Democrats that are now supporting Republicans and the other way around. We have people who have literally about-faced on issues because they change. You know why they change? Not because they've had a change of heart, but because they lost support. and they're trying to find who the biggest crowd will support them is. I'm glad that Jesus never changes. You know why I'm glad that God never changes? Because your boy still changes. Sometimes I'm up. Am I the only one? Sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I'm walking in faith, and sometimes it is all I can do not to strangle my neighbor. Not my physical neighbor, but you know what I'm saying. I change, and so I need a God that never changes so that I can become like him. So when we say in Christ, or made the righteousness of God in Christ, in him, Jesus is a fixed position. If we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which we are, then our thinking, our being, who we are, and our actions should reflect that truth. True righteousness is reflected in what we think. That's our thought life. Somebody say thought life. Who we are, that's our identity. Not who we say we are, but who we really are. And what we do, which is our actions. I believe the key to this scripture lies in the phrase, the last two words, in him or in Christ. So it is with us, when we are in Christ, we can only do what Christ does, go where he goes, because we are in him. The great American pastor A.W. Tozer said this: the only sin Jesus ever had was ours, and the only righteousness we can ever have is his. What a powerful statement. Jesus never committed a sin, but he knew sin because he took your sin and my sin to the cross. And he nailed them to the cross. And he said, I can't just take your stuff without giving you some of what I have. And so he said, you can't produce righteousness. You can't be righteousness. But here's a trade. I'll take all of your sin, having never known sin. And you've never known righteousness, but I'm going to give you my righteousness. Acts chapter 17. Let's go a little further. The doctor Luke writes in chapter 17, verse 28, for in him, there are those two words are again, circle them, underline them, highlight them. For in him we live. You know what I love about live? Living is outside of the church. On my street, on the street corner, I live in Christ. At my job, I live in Christ. In the courtroom, while the jury's deciding and deliberating, I am in Christ. In the doctor's office, while I'm waiting on a good report or a bad report, I am in Christ. No matter what happens a week from now, whether your man or your woman got in or was ousted, let me tell you something. I'm still going to be living in Christ. I love the fact that in him we live, we move, meaning this, that you can't make, or we should not make, a move outside of Christ. I was encouraging a friend of mine today, and he's getting ready, and he's weighing out a big decision in his life. And I said, just make sure that you make a God move and not just a good move. Make sure that God is leading you. Make sure that you are not making a decision based on emotions. And see, a lot of us are making permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. Don't ever let emotions lead you. Let the Spirit lead you. Remember, we're Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. But when the writer here says, I move in Christ. And then he said, I have my being in Christ. Isaiah 61, verse 10, the prophet said, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. When was the last time you were overwhelmed with joy? Joy unspeakable. Remember, everything doesn't have to be going right for you to be able to encounter joy. You might be in one of the lowest places of your life tonight. You might be facing a divorce, a bankruptcy, a foreclosure. You might have just had a bad report from the doctor. Or you might be fighting anxiety and fear because of the culture and what's going on in our world. But can I remind you, happiness is based on happenings, but joy is found in Christ, because it is Nehemiah who said, it is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. Meaning this, that even when I'm weak, I can be strong because I'm not depending on me, it is him. And so here Isaiah is saying, I was overwhelmed. That's what worship really does, because you lose yourself in the presence of God and we are overwhelmed. I took a picture when the young people in this altar during worship no longer stood with their hands lifted, but they laid down on their face before God and they got down on their knees and they began to worship. Can I tell you how special this place is, that we can have 15 and 16 year olds instead of running around town, instead of sleeping around like their peers on a Wednesday night, they're front and center and they're being overwhelmed. When was the last time, church, we were overwhelmed? Not with the world. I know a lot of us are overwhelmed right now. If you're going to be overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord. For he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation. We put on that salvation. He has dressed me with the clothes, and he has draped me in the robe of righteousness. He has literally said, take my coat. You know what I love about Jesus' coat? One size truly does fit all. I'm here to encourage somebody. It doesn't matter what you've done. Once you've said yes to Jesus, that is the old you. That is under the blood. Case dismissed. It is not a part of who you are now and who you are going to be. Said, I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. Then Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 6, stand therefore, talking about righteousness, church, having fastened the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what the number one job of the breastplate is? It's to protect your heart. The most vital organ that you have is your heart. And when you put on righteousness and you allow God to drape his righteousness, remember, not something we earn, not something we did to receive other than say yes to Jesus. He said, I'm going to cover you in my righteousness. And he said, wear that righteousness every day and you will protect your heart. And why is it important for us to protect our heart? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I'm not living under the righteousness of God, my mouth won't say the right things. If I say the wrong things, I'm going to see the wrong things. If I say the wrong things, I'm going to receive the wrong things. Because remember, everything you say is a seed. And so when we protect our heart, not only does it protect and change what we say, but how many of you know there's a lot of things that come out of our heart, that if that heart is not being ruled by Jesus, there's a lot of things that will hurt us or will come from us that will hurt other people. And so when he says put on the breastplate of righteousness, it's not just talking about an armor so you can go fight. When you wear armor, it is to protect you and it is a defensive measure. And can I encourage somebody in the last 60 days of 2024, before you go into 2025, God needs you to step into the fullness of his righteousness, because there's some people that want to hurt you and there's some people that want to have a relationship just so they can rob from you. But I'm here to encourage you, the righteousness of God will protect your heart. As we do this, we will find that we become more like Jesus every day. I was encouraging somebody this week, and I just reminded them that you are not in competition with anyone else. You are not to compare your life with anyone else. When you look in the mirror, you should see how much you look more like Jesus today than you did yesterday. And that is my goal, to look more and more like Christ. The righteousness of God through our thoughts being in action will become evident in our life. We will see it by what we think, who we are, and what we do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Here we are. I was talking about this before the lights came back on. For you were sometimes darkness. I've always misquoted this. I said, for sometimes we were in darkness. It's not what it says. It says you were darkness. That's who you were. It just wasn't where you were, it was who you were. That's why transformation, if we go to the Sunday series, that's why transformation is so important, that we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed by the Word. Because when we are transformed by the Word, who we are changes. We're changed from the inside out. Meaning we used to be very dark individuals. If you're like me, I'm in my 40s. Y'all, that means we were in high school and we were in junior high in the 90s. And there was a big phase going on back then, and it was the goth phase. It was like Casper white makeup, black lipstick, black fingernails, and everything was just doom and gloom. And what's so funny to me is now some of those same goth people I went to school with, I see them on Facebook and they're like now the president of the PTA. It's like, man, I didn't know you had blonde hair. I didn't know you had blue eyes. Now it's like Live, Laugh, and Love on their cover photo. And you're like, what happened to that? They were darkness, and then they got exposed to light, and it changed them. See, when you really understand the righteousness of God, you understand the transformation from darkness. He said, you were sometimes dark, but now you are light in the Lord. There it is again, in Christ. Now walk as children of light. Don't just shine bright on a Wednesday night until 8:15. But shine bright in the Wendy's drive-thru. Shine bright in the voting line. Shine bright wherever you are. Shine the light of Christ. Verse 9 is so key. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Meaning those who are light will produce the good things and the righteous things and the true things. Proving, verse 10, and this will make sense to those of you that have been in the 11 a.m. service as well in our Will series, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, meaning this, that until we put on righteousness, our lives are not acceptable or agreeable with God and who He has called us to be. Remember this, God is not measuring or judging us based on who is sitting next to us. Here's the truth. God is judging us based on who He created us to be and where we are in that process. You know, God not only wants you to make it to heaven, that is the eternal goal, but God has a goal for you on October 30th, 2024 at 8:15 p.m. He wants us to hit some certain marks, and I'm so proud of us tonight because we put pause on everything else and we said we're going to the house of the Lord, not to be seen by men, not to be heard of men, not to check off some religious thing on our to-do list, but we are here so that we can see Christ and become more like Christ through His righteousness. This is the time to not just get it right, but to get righteous. I encouraged somebody the other day that it's been a long time since I've seen them at church. And I have heard the excuse all the time that I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. I don't even understand that. That's like saying that I don't have to live with my spouse to have a successful marriage. Going and getting married on your wedding day was the beginning of something great, hopefully, praise God. But it's going to take every day, you and her, living life together, finding out about one another, compromising on some things so that you can stay together and so you can raise a family. I'm here to encourage you on a Wednesday night. There is something to be said about getting to the house of God to make sure that no matter what's going on in the world, you're not getting distracted. And I told somebody, I said, hey, now's not the time to be playing games with Jesus. Now's not the time to be ducking out. Now's not the time to be sitting down. And now with all the wars and the rumors of wars going on, with everything that's happening in our country, now's not the time to be skipping out on church. Now's not the time to not have a prayer life. Now is not the time. Listen, when we were growing up, we thought we had the rest of our lives, but I am here to tell you, life is short and eternity is long. And I don't want to base my eternity hoping that I am right-ish or right enough. I want to say I am the righteousness of God. Right-ish means that you are banking on what you've done getting you there. Righteous means I'm resting in what Christ has done to get me there. Somebody say amen. Amen. The righteous are ready, the right-ish are not. Those who have been shouting and declaring, I am the righteousness of God with their mouth, but not with their thoughts, feelings, and actions, lining up with the word of God, they will have a rude awakening. They will see it, but not hold it. They will see it, but not eat it. They will see it, but not live it. You want to know one of the scariest, if I can even say it like that, verses in the Bible is when it talks about Lazarus, not the one that was raised from the grave, but the one that was asking and could see what was going on the earth. And you know what one of the scariest things is that hell is going to be able to see heaven. They're going to be able to see what they missed out on. Heaven, we won't know about all the, about that. What was that? That's going on. The Bible says there will be no tears, and it's going to be a great and amazing place. But can I tell you, eternity is too long to be wrong. So right-ish is not enough. A rude awakening. I don't want to just see it. I want to hold it, eat it, and live it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Hold on tight. Here we go. Paul proclaims to the church in Corinth, awaken to righteousness. Wake up. On a Wednesday night, I'm declaring, wake up. It's not just about you having a successful life. It's not just about us making the most money we've ever been and building a kingdom on this earth. Can I encourage you and remind you that God has called us for eternity. God has called us something bigger than big bank accounts, nice cars, nice house, and successful businesses. All of that can be the favor of God and the blessing of God. But remember this, you were called for such a time as this. And we need you to wake up so that you can wake up other people. And I need to be ready on Sundays and Wednesdays and every time a microphone is put in my hand to be able to say, I am called to wake people up and say, you've slept for too long. You're getting comfortable. You're slowing down. You're not doing what you used to do. You're not in it like you used to be in it. Awaken to righteousness and sin not. If we are awake in righteousness, we do not give occasion or room to sin. But if we start sleeping on righteousness, sin now has a place to creep in. Listen to what the rest of this verse says. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, shame on you, because some of you don't have the knowledge of Christ that I have. Remember, Paul is not talking to the lost here. He's talking to believers in Corinth. And he said, shame on you, because I've heard that you've been sleeping. And here's something that we need to hear in this room tonight. And if this offends you, blame God, don't blame me. Some of us are just proud that we're not sleeping around anymore. But you're still sleeping. You're not sleeping around, you're just sleeping on. Sleeping on Jesus. Sleeping on his will. Sleeping on what he called you to do. Sleeping on his righteousness. Sleeping on his faith. And I have come to encourage and announce tonight, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. My friend Charles Neiman says this, you gotta wake up and you gotta fight, because Satan is not going to call off his dog. Satan is not going to feel sorry for you. Even though God wants to bless you, Satan wakes up every day wanting to drag you straight to hell. And if he can't drag you to hell, he wants to take your children or your grandchildren, or wants to make your life miserable. But I am here to tell you, wake up, wake up, wake up. What happens next Tuesday is not going to save you. It's not going to change your life. What happens in this room, as good as it may be, if we don't live the righteousness of God, it's not going to make any difference come Friday, come Tuesday. He says, wake up to righteousness. He says, shame on you, because you should have the knowledge of Christ. Check out what Ephesians 4:20, we love Ephesians 3:20, Ephesians 4:20 is so powerful. It says, you have not so learned Christ. Paul tells us that there is a wrong way of learning Jesus. And these Jesus is my boyfriend churches. And he's just going to bless me, and this is going to be great, and I can't wait, and it's rainbows and butterflies and all of that. No, righteousness takes guts. Righteousness takes faith to live it out. Righteousness means sometimes you're going to get spit on. Righteousness means sometimes you're going to get ridiculed and mocked. Righteousness is going to cost you some relationships. Righteousness is going to cost you some opportunities. But I would rather stand right with God than right with man. I would rather hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, than, Brandon, you're my boy, and I don't need all of that. I need to make sure that at the end of my life, that God says, you are and you were the righteousness of God. Wake up! Looking in the camera tonight, talking to all the pastors that you've dismissed your Wednesday night services, and so you're sitting in your recliner and you're watching our service tonight. Wake up! We don't care what you think politically. Wake up and preach righteousness. We don't care about your progressive and wokeism. Wake up and preach righteousness. Pastors, you quit divorcing and sleeping around. Pastors, you quit taking a bump of coke and start living righteous. We need you to wake up before anyone else can wake up. Verse 34 says, awaken to righteousness and sin not. I'm big on context, context, context. That's verse 34. What does verse 33 say? I'm glad you asked. It gives us the biggest enemy of righteousness of God in your life. Verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You want to know what one of the greatest enemies of your righteousness is? Relationships. Who you run with. Who you marry. Who you're hanging out with. Who you go to lunch with. Come on now. Who you go to lunch with after Sunday church. Some of your biggest enemies aren't across the city. Some of them are across an aisle tonight. And just because they're in church might mean they need Jesus, not they have Jesus. And so we've got to be able to discern that if I get into this relationship, it's going to cost me my righteousness. If I get into this relationship, it's not going to be good for who God has called me to be. Some of the people we are surrounding ourselves with are lulling us to sleep spiritually. Some of who we are spending time with are literally making us numb to the presence of God. Some of who we are doing life with are literally robbing us of righteousness, and we find ourselves empty and we're wondering, why am I empty? Because I've changed my friends and I'm hanging out with the people from church and I thought life was going to get better. You've got to look at everybody, not just in your life. You've got to look at everybody in your life every day and make sure that they're living righteous so they don't mess up your righteousness. My friends list is growing smaller every day. The older I get, quality over quantity. Not because I don't enjoy it. Listen, I got some funny former friends. But I don't want to laugh all the way to hell. Some of my best friends now are not funny. I don't really enjoy spending an afternoon with them. But they're good for me. They keep me righteous. They keep me focused. It's not always about the laugh and the joke and the funny stories. Sometimes a phone call to them is going to wake me back up because I started drifting and going to sleep. And those kind of relationships. Remember, when you're growing up, you got 100 pennies. But sooner or later, you can trade those 100 pennies for 4 quarters. And let me tell you where I'm at. I'm at like $2.5, y'all. And that's okay. Because I might trade one of them for that Eisenhower dollar. Praise God. I got Jesus. I got Mandy. I got my family. That's all I need. Everything else is just icing on the cake. So I need you to look down your row real quick. Look to the left. Look to the right. Just raise your eyebrows. Don't say anything. Just raise your eyebrows. Raise your eyebrows. Jesus takes us from right-ish to righteous. But the wrong people will take us from righteous to right-ish. It was very sad to me that former members of Living Way, the first thing they did when they left the church wasn't badmouth me. I'm a big boy. I can take it. We had somebody in the building on Sunday out in the hallway. They told some of our young people that they were going to hell. And these are young people that are serving. And it hurt those young people's feelings. And it hurt one of our leaders' feelings. And I mean, big old tears were a response to that. And I had to tell them, you should read some of the emails I get on the weekly. Not to diminish it, but to just say, hey, the righteous are targets. We're going to get some of that craziness. But when this couple left Living Way, they didn't run me down. They didn't talk about the worship, the preaching, none of that. The first thing they started doing when they left Living Way was they started drinking. And I'm not just talking about a beer here and a beer. I'm talking about taking shots, hard liquor, putting it on social media. And whatever you're doing on social media, you're doing 10 times worse off of social media. And I thought, wow, do you mean that the righteousness here kept you from doing that there? But the moment that you step out and the moment that you got around people that said, oh, you're not at Living Way anymore. It's okay to do these things. It's okay. And they were just controlling you. I'm not controlling you to control you. I am teaching you and challenging you because I want you and your family to make heaven. I don't want you to have to go through the mess that the world goes through. Jesus takes right-ish to righteous. The wrong people take the righteous to right-ish. It's a sad thing when we allow wrong relationships to rob us of righteousness. God has been dealing with people in this room, and I'm almost done, but God has been dealing with people in this room on relationships. The Bible has a very graphic text that says, it is like a dog returning to its vomit. Can I just speak very plainly to somebody and let Jesus, let the Holy Ghost tell you that I'm talking to you or that he's talking to you. You made some difficult decisions relationship-wise, but then you got lonely. And after God freed you from those relationships, you got lonely and you went right back to those relationships. You couldn't stand being by yourself when that's a lie. You were never by yourself because Jesus is with you. And this is not kindergarten. We shouldn't have to hold your hand and introduce you to a new friend at Living Way. When you join a ministry, when you join the TV ministry, guess what? You just got 15 new friends. When you join the greeter ministry, guess what? You just got 40 new friends. When you started teaching Sunday school, guess what? You just got 15 new friends. And so I want to encourage somebody in the room tonight, don't go back to what God has delivered you from, because you get lonely or in a moment of weakness. Nostalgia makes you think what you had was great when you were praying for God to deliver you from that in that season. Man, I drove through for an appointment this morning up by Dripping Springs. I drove through San Marcos, Texas. San Marcos is my old stomping grounds where I went to high school and spent the majority of my adolescent life in San Marcos. And let me tell you something. When I was driving those streets, some memories started flooding back, y'all. What I was doing back then. People I was hanging out with back then. Girls I was dating back then. And I had to sing what Tyler sang, look at what the Lord has done. Because some of those nutcases I see on social media, and if you're watching, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the other nutcases. I'm talking about all of them. But man, I'm going to tell you what, some of those memories, they're dangerous. Nostalgia is poison. Because you think it was better than it really was. And at 43, what I was doing at 16, I can't even compare the two. Look at what the Lord has done. You and I are the righteousness. We have awakened so we don't sin like we used to. But listen, here's the thing. We have to understand every person we allow close to us is either going to fortify our righteousness or to rip off our righteousness. I love how Isaiah said it. He said he clothed me in salvation, but he draped the robe of righteousness. Some of us are waking up. And that drape was pulled off of us by who we chose to spend time with last night. I want to encourage you tonight, church, the righteousness of God, more than just a Wednesday, more than just a Sunday. I've heard this declared all of my life. Give me 2 more minutes. The declaration, I am the righteousness of God. And I threw this out at the end of last week's session. The declaration is an amazing thing, and I'm a declaration guy. But declaration plus disobedience equals delusion. And can I tell you that America has some of the most delusional Christians that I have ever met? They talk about God from their apartments and they never darken his door. They make grand statements of so-called faith and we never see it. I told a couple that goes to this church at Fall Fest. I said, man, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so happy for you. They just bought some land. And I said, every time y'all post about the land and the new house and all these things, I get so excited. I said, let's go. I'm excited for them. You know why I'm so excited for them? Not just because I love them, but they're one of the few people that actually say they're going to do something and do it. Don't be one of those believers that talks about faith, 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 and you're always sick, always broke, always depressed, always something. Not going from faith to faith, to victory, you're going from trouble to trouble, valley to valley, sickness to sickness. Don't want that. You shouldn't want that. Declaration plus disobedience equals delusion. Some of us are going to lay the delusional spirit down tonight. And we're going to say, God, if I declare it, then I'm going to obey you. If I declare it, then I'm going to do what I need to do to make sure that what you gave me that I declared comes to pass in my life. There are many believers that are living with their declaration at one level and their obedience at another level, and that should not be. We always say, practice what you preach. No, we ought to preach what we are already practicing. I shouldn't have to preach it to start practicing it. I should only preach it after I'm already practicing it. How crazy would it have been for me to tell you to lose weight 13 months ago when your boy was 275? I'm still not where I need to be. Y'all get ready. When I get down to 175, I'm coming after something. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I remember. My mom said, don't you do it. You can go right back the other way if you're not careful. We must desire righteousness. Stand on your feet, church. Driving this point home, Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after stuff. Nope. After things. Nope. After relationships. Nope. No, blessed. There's a blessing in seeking, the hunger, the thirsting of righteousness. Hear the promise, for they shall be filled. What are we filled with? The righteousness of God. I want to be so faith-filled, hope-filled, joy, peace, righteousness-filled. I want to be like a sponge. Not just bringing it all in, but when I'm squeezed and pressed, guess what comes out of me? What I'm full of. And if I could say it like this, I used to be full of a lot of stuff. And when I was pressed, it would flow out. But praise God, I'm so full of who He is that if you press me, you're going to get Jesus. You're going to get everything that He is. You will never have the right relationship, right relationship, righteous, right relationship with God until you hunger for one. Very simply, church, whatever you're hungry for, you will eat. I've never said, man, I'm so hungry for a burger, I think I'll have chicken. I've never said to myself, I am so hungry for elephant. Man, I'd love to have me just a nice elephant steak. I'd love to have me some kangaroo tenders. And see, right now, here's the thing, church. Right now, some of you are saying, ooh, that's gross, says the same people who eat raw oysters. I'm thinking, who is hungry enough for that to be a valid option? But you know why we say, ooh, elephant, we've never had it. It might be the best delicacy in the world. We've just never had it. Don't knock it until you've tried it. Psalm 34, I think it's 34, says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to remind Satan, you got to me too late, because I've already sat at the table. I've already eaten the goodness of the Lord, and I can't go back. Every Friday in October was filled with a church event. So I haven't had time, and if you know me, I love my birthday, y'all. And we get a whole month of celebration. Once you turn 40, it's a whole month of celebration. And so we're actually extending it a month, because this Friday we're finally going out to dinner. And your boy's lost some weight, but I still love food, y'all. So I'm going to a new steakhouse that I've never been to, one of the best steakhouses in Texas. I'll tell you about it on Sunday. It's going to be great. But I've been looking at the menu. And a friend of mine sent me the menu and he said, look at what they have, chicken fried elk. I can't wait. I'm going to have some. That's not going to be my whole meal. I'm going to order something else in case I don't like the elk. But I'm not hungry for elk. You know what I'm hungry for? Wagyu steak. Medium well. Maybe medium. That's what I'm hungry for, so that's what I'm going to sit down and order. Some of us are complaining that we don't have something that we have no hunger for. You want something from God, but you won't hunger for God. God, I'm hungry for your hand, but I don't want your presence. No, 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 no. Whatever you are hungry for, that's what you are going to pursue. That's what you are going to wake up thinking about. That's what you're going to go to sleep thinking about. I'm hungry for this. I'll do anything to get a taste of it. I'll do anything to eat it, to drink it. And I'm here to tell somebody today, quit hungering for his hand and start hungering for him. Say, God, I just want you. I want your righteousness. I want who you are in my life. I want to open this altar right now. And this is the moment where you get to taste and see. I know life has left a sour taste in your mouth. I know what you're going through in your family has left a terrible taste in your mouth. Can I just, I just feel this in my spirit. What has happened in church has left a terrible taste in your mouth. But I'm here to tell you, change your hunger tonight. For those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, man, this altar filled up quick. And they're coming, men of God, families coming, praise God. You say, what's happening right now? People are making a step of faith. People are saying, I heard what the pastor said, but it doesn't matter what the pastor was saying. God was speaking to me about my life, my situation, and my future. And so anyone that is in this altar right now is just saying, God, I am needing more of you tonight. I am hungry. I am so hungry. I'm not going to wait at my seat. I'm storming the kitchen. I'm not waiting until they, let me tell you something. Whew. Brazil's a good steakhouse, y'all. You know what I love about Brazil is once you get in, you're ready. They can come take my drink order at the buffet line. I'm already up there flipping that card. You don't have to wait for righteousness. When you say yes to Jesus, it's a gift. It's already paid for. It's already done. If you're in this altar right now, God right now is meeting you and he's going to meet your needs with his presence, his righteousness. He's trading it. Your sin for his righteousness, our shortcomings for his righteousness, our failures for his righteousness. If you're in this altar right now, I want you to lift both hands to heaven if they're not lifted already. You can lift them high. You can put them out in front of you like you're about to catch something that God's getting ready to drop in. But I just want you to get in a posture where you're saying, God, I'm ready for your righteousness. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. God, simply put, we are here to taste and see. We are here hungering and thirsting. I know that's true on a Wednesday night. No one's here by accident. We are here hungering and thirsting for more of you. Some of us have come for a word. Some of us have come for a move. Some of us have come for transformation. Some of us didn't have anywhere else to go, so we came here. But God, in this moment, as our pastoral team and all of our team members begin to pray and begin to minister to those in this altar, more than our hands, more than our voice, let them feel your touch and let them hear your voice. Lord, we are transforming from right-ish to righteous. From maybe I'll get it right to God already made it right. Maybe I'll find a way to God already made a way. And in this altar, at seats, and on the other side of these screens and red light, live streaming tonight, I believe right now that God is giving you a revelation of his righteousness. Not what you and I can do or have done, but what Jesus has already done. Have your way, Jesus. Keep praying in this altar. Keep praying. Keep praying. If you're at your seat, keep praying. But I want to open this altar right now for people in your seat. I'm talking straight to you. Forget about the person to the left and right of you. If this is your moment, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Don't let ego rob you of the moment. Don't let your pride rob you of the moment. Here's another thing. Don't let your ignorance, and when I say that, you simply don't know. There's somebody in here, somebody's in here that you're saying, man, I'm new to this church stuff. I'm new to everything that I'm seeing tonight. You don't have to understand it fully to step out in faith and say, God, I don't know about what everything's happening here, but I do know that you're speaking to me and I feel something. Make your way down to the altar. Maybe you're standing next to somebody. You're with a friend tonight. You're with your brother tonight. Your cousin came tonight. That's cool. Maybe your spouse showed up to church and it's been a long time since they've been here. Maybe it's been 6 months since you've been here. I just want you, if God leads you, turn around to your neighbor and ask him, hey, you need to go down there. I'll walk with you. That's not a rhetorical question. I want you to really do that if God's leading you to do that. Hey, do you need prayer? Let's go down. I'll walk with you. Here they come. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I love obedience and I love the second wave. I love the second wave because the enemy has been lying to them, saying, oh, don't go down there, right here, right now. This is your moment. This is your moment. This is your moment. God bless you. This is your moment. Praise God. Gina, will you go down and pray with this young lady that came down here right at the end? In Jesus' name. We're getting ready to worship and end the service, but Lord, right now, Lord, she was the last on this altar, but Lord, the last will be first. Lord, I thank you for speaking to her, and I thank you, God, for literally 30 seconds ago, she awakened to righteousness. Lord, I don't know what her life, what's going on, and the tumultuous things that she's dealing with, but I do know this, Jesus, that you are for her, not against her. I know, God, that your promises, God, are still in effect. I know, God, that, Lord, you are speaking to her. I know that there's been many times where she couldn't hear you because of the noise of the world, but tonight she hears you loud and clear. I pray, God, that she would walk out of here with clarity, walk out of here with joy, walk out of here with peace, walk out of here with strength in Jesus' name. If you're in this altar and you like to be baptized in water, this is your church. We baptize every service and every day. We met somebody up here on a Monday a couple months ago. If you want to be baptized in water, we're ready right here, right now. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to be baptized in water, praise God. What's your first name?
Delaine.
Delaine? Oh, Delaine, of course. This is Miss Delaine. She is a great member of this church, been here a long time. And when I said it out of my peripheral vision, she lifted her hand up. Miss Delaine is going to be baptized in water tonight. I'm so excited for her. Great family, great mom. Men of God on their knees in this altar, big tears running down people's face. This is a move, but it's a righteous move. People being transformed in this moment. If you'd like to be baptized, we're so grateful that Delaine's being baptized, but there's another three or four that it's time to make that move. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you say, ooh, that's out there. Oh, it is. It's powerful. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. This is your moment. And if you need anything else, we're happy to pray for you. That's why we're here. We hang out afterwards and answer questions and pray for you. This is your moment. And we're going to celebrate with Ms. Delaine as she is being baptized, but we're going to receive the second mile offering right now. As you get ready to give tonight, I know there's a lot of new believers. When you give here, I need you to understand the spiritual significance that giving to what we do here. Living Way has a great call to our city. And every time you give, whether it's a dollar or $10,000, it is literally pushing kingdom forward, putting a big magnifying glass on Jesus in our